We have a special guest, Robert Griffin III, Heisman Trophy winner, NFL Rookie of the Year, Pro Bowler, now with the Baltimore Ravens joining us here. Robert, thank you so much for taking the time. We know that you've been certainly very outspoken with all the matters that are going on in the world right now, as people should be. What do you make of what you're seeing, though, right now in regards to the protests and in regards to all the different backgrounds of people that are coming together at this particular juncture?
Hey, guys, just want to say thanks for having me on. And you stayed hot with the questions. And really, it's been phenomenal to see how many people have gone out, protested, and how many people have spoken up. The momentum for change right now is probably something I've never seen in my lifetime. And, you know, that's only been 30 years. And I think people are really starting to pay attention, and we can enact some great change over these next couple of years that our children will be very proud of.
Robert, as I'm sure you saw, Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti posted a very, what I thought, heartfelt video talking about everything that's going on. What was your reaction when you saw that?
Well, I was part of the video, so I kind of knew what was going to happen. And we really just wanted to open up the floor for the conversations. Guys' voices need to be heard. And I think sometimes as a professional athlete, when you're in that top 1% of money makers in the U.S., people think that you don't experience oppression throughout your life. They think that you're disconnected from what's going on in the communities. And these are the communities that all of us grew up in. So because we go through that and we make it out, we understand that we have to give back and we have to continue to remember where we came from. And I think you can see that literally throughout the video with the passion and the enthusiasm and the stories that you hear from all the guys. And it was awesome that, you know, Mr. Bisciotti was willing to listen and was willing to put himself in the forefront of this conversation. You know, a lot of people don't want to do that. You know, it's always been about the brand or about the sponsors or about losing money. But this isn't a political issue. You know, human rights is not a political issue. And I think for far too long in this country, inequality has been too prevalent when our country was founded on equality for all.
Robert Griffin III joining us here, Baltimore Ravens. I mean, well said. Obviously, I'm with you wholeheartedly. It isn't a political issue. This is about humanity. And how best can one continue to drive that home, Robert?
Yeah, I mean, I think the question I get the most often is, how can I help, right? How can I do something to, you know, end racism or end inequality? And I don't think any one person has the direct answer. But it starts with yourself, right? You have to check yourself. You have to check your family, your friends, the people you associate with, to make sure that they're all in line. Like, you're not letting anything slide that you know isn't right, right? You have to confront everything, address everything, so that we can start eliminating some of these things that are too prevalent in our culture, you know, in the next generation, right? Well, my foundation, RG3 Foundation, we're selling bands, right? We're selling shirts and masks to try to raise funds to go into the cities and go into these communities and work with the local and state governments to enact change. And that's part of it, right? It takes money to try to enact change, especially in a capitalist market like the United States of America. But you can enact probably even more change by just checking the circle that you're with to make sure that you're not allowing anything to fly. You're not allowing things that you would normally just turn the other cheek, right? You would just say, oh, it's not affecting me. It's not changing my day-to-day life, so I'm not going to step up and say something for that person who can't do it by themselves. I've said this multiple times, but it's not people who look like me who are going to change the course of America. It's people who look like the majority. And to be quite frank, that's white people. White people have to stand up and speak on behalf of the minority, which is people of color in America.
Robert, as George said, you've been very vocal on Twitter, and I think it's worth mentioning that you've been selling handbands with proceeds going to Black Lives Matter initiatives. And I really appreciate everything that you have been saying and tweeting about and posting on your social media accounts. I'm curious, if you don't mind me asking, how did you feel when you heard what Drew Brees said about the kneeling and his subsequent apologies afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a hot button, you know, topic, and In today's, you know, age with everything that's going on, everyone's speaking up about everything. And when I heard him initially say it, I just thought, you know, everything I've ever heard about Drew Brees is that he's a great guy, you know, that he's constantly in the community, that he's given a lot to the community in New Orleans, which many people don't know, but that is where my family is from. My entire family lives in New Orleans, Louisiana. My mom and dad were both born and raised in Louisiana. And I can tell you that when he made that statement, everybody in my family was upset because he knows it, and I think he's apologized and he's addressed it since, but he just missed the ball on what the real issue was, right? You know, for 4 years since Kaepernick took a knee, everybody's had an opportunity to kind of address what he was protesting, address what he was not protesting, and what the protests stand for and don't stand for. And I think that Drew kind of reiterated all of the negativity and all the wrong angles about that protest. And people who are out there in the streets protesting, marching, coming together, they heard that, and it hurt them. You know, it hurts when one of the stars of the NFL, one of the stars of the world, really, says something that is out of touch with the rest of humanity. And I think he realized that. I think his family realized that. I know for sure his PR team realized that, and they tried to rectify it. And I think that's what hurt the most. It wasn't that, you know, we don't agree with your opinion. It's not that we don't want you to say anything contrary to the movement. It's just that we need you to address the movement. We need you to address what is being protested. We need you to address what is being done wrong. And I think he has addressed that now. And, you know, fortunately, I don't play with Drew Brees and his teammates do. And, you know, Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and all those guys have forgiven him. And, you know, hopefully he can continue to do some work in the community that will get the community to forgive him as well.
Robert Griffin III joining us here on Game Day on ESPN Radio. Robert, we mentioned at the top the video of yourself and Steve Bisciotti and his message. What is your expectation of other owners in this league who should be speaking up right now?
Yeah, you know, I don't have any expectation, to be honest with you. I only can focus on what I can control, and I think that each owner has to just look at themselves and, you know, look on the inside and ask themselves, are they affected by what's going on? And I don't mean financially. I don't mean, you know, whether or not we're going to have a football season or if there's going to be fans in the stands. I just mean from a human being standpoint, right? We're all human beings, and if you can't say Black Lives Matter, you know, then I think you have to reassess your own values. It's not that all lives don't matter, but how can all lives matter if one section of those lives has been, you know, experiencing social injustice, inequality, discrimination, and racism for 400 years? So we have to get to the point where we can say all lives matter, but right now we can't say that. So we need you to say Black Lives Matter and then show that means something to you and show that all human beings are valued and are worthy. So I don't have an expectation of the other owners. It's not a call to action for the other owners. I just think they have to make that decision for themselves, right? You don't have to go out in the street and protest. You decide to go out and protest. So if they decide to, you know, post a video or do something about it, you know, monetarily or get out there in the streets and walk with the protesters, you know, I think that's their decision.
Of course, in the midst of all of this, we also have the pandemic that's going on, and your head coach, John Harbaugh, said on Thursday that it was, quote-unquote, humanly impossible to adhere to all the guidelines that the NFL has put out in terms of, you know, everything that needs to be done once the practice facilities are open. Did you hear his comments in full, and do you agree with Coach Harbaugh?
No, I definitely heard his comments in full, and, you know, Ariel, thank you. You know, you do a lot of work with the UFC, and I don't know how, you know, it's been able to come back so quick, but, you know, just imagine, you know, you have two guys in a ring, right? Three guys in a ring if you include the ref, and they're fighting, right? And, you know, they go through all the testing, and, you know, they find out that neither of them has COVID-19 coronavirus, and then they go home and they just compete, right? They're sweating, bleeding, punching each other, kicking each other, grappling, all these things. Well, now imagine, you know, now you have 22 guys on the field, a couple referees. There's so many more people that go into putting on a fully televised NFL game day than there are that go into putting on a fully televised UFC event. I think that's kind of the struggle right now, right? The coronavirus, COVID-19 is a serious thing. And what many people aren't talking about is the fact that in the NFL, a lot of our big guys, right, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, these are the guys who are most at risk to catch the coronavirus because they have these disabilities or these conditions, you know, by the nature of being 6'7", 360 pounds, right? And they're the ones who are experiencing the severe reactions to the virus. So it may be humanly impossible to try to put on an NFL season like it used to be. And I heard what Coach said about that, about meeting rooms, about, you know, meeting time on the field, whether or not we're going to be in the building or not for our meetings. How can we social distance in a locker room? All these different things. But at the same time, you may have to try to do that to just make sure our guys stay safe. So, I know one thing, Coach is completely focused on winning. We're completely focused on winning. We're doing everything we can to make sure we're ready for the football season. It's just going to be, a weird year, you know? But I got my coaches back 100%. If he feels like it's humanly impossible, then maybe we just have to do some otherworldly things to get ready to go.
Robert Griffin III joining us here. Robert, before we let you go, how much input have you had in helping Lamar Jackson? I mean, listen, you came onto the scene, you're rookie of the year. You've been someone who's been in this league for a long time. He certainly is an ascending player. What is that relationship like and what is his growth like?
Yeah, I would say this first and foremost. I don't take credit for anybody else's success. You know, LJ is my guy. Love him to death. We worked together. He came in from day one. He was constantly asking questions. And if he wasn't asking questions, I was just trying to provide as much input as I could for him. And the biggest growth I feel like he made from year one to year two, not necessarily on the field, because, you know, he's the reigning NFL MVP. You know, he went out there and he did his thing. But for me and him personally, the biggest change from year one to year two was, in year one, it was more of me trying to help him and trying to talk to him and go to him. And in year two, I just noticed a drastic difference in him coming to me and asking me questions and talking about reads and talking about coverages and how we do this and how would you do that. And it just showed me that, you know, sometimes when you first meet somebody, you don't know, right? You don't know how they're going to be. You don't know if they got your back. You don't know if you can trust them. And I think I earned his trust between year one and year two, and that was very important for me because, you know, I know a lot of people think they know my story over the course of the years that I've been in the league, and I definitely look forward to telling it, you know, the truth about it in the future, but I was able to share that with LJ and, you know, try to keep him or steer him away from some of the things that ended up hurting me. And one of the things I told him was the best thing that ever happened to him, but you got drafted to the Baltimore Ravens. Great organization, first class. They do things the right way. They know how to support the quarterback, and they know how to put guys around him to help him be successful. And that's not just players, right? That's coaches. That's everybody in the building having one mindset and one goal. And I'm extremely proud of Lamar Jackson. I'm extremely proud to be his teammate, and I look forward to seeing him going on and having a Hall of Fame career.
Robert, last quick thing, and thank you so much for the time. This has been incredible. True or false? That's all we need. True or false? The Ravens are playing in the Super Bowl next year.
True.
There it is. Robert Griffin III joining us here on Game Day on ESPN Radio. Robert, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it. Again, continue doing what you're doing, and obviously, as we heard you say, we're all going to do our part to help racial injustice. And thanks again for taking the time. Really, really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Appreciate y'all having me on. God bless.